Mary's gonna sing a beautiful song. I don't feel right unless Mary ministers with me in song.
Good morning. Just a little while longer, I want to pray. Can't get you off my mind, so I can't just say thank you, Lord, just for loving me. Many times I do forget every need that you have met. Oh, thank you, Lord, I know you're showing me. You are there when I am down and out, and you're holding me. Your love is so amazing. Oh, it changed me.
Hallelujah.
I didn't have any hope at all. You gave me peace divine, strength to carry on. I should have been the one to pay, but instead you took my place. Amazing grace. It's more than just a song, even though I don't deserve your love for me. You look behind my fault and you show me mercy. Now I have raised my hands to worship you. I want to say thank you. Oh, yeah. Everything for who you are. Because of me, it's a child. I want to say thank you. Thank you for the sun. Thank you for the rain. Amen. Praise God. Just reminding myself, you know, I always say, honey, Mary, when you see the toothpick come out, turn your minds on, open up your hearts, and let's open up this word, and turn your cell phones down. Praise God. It's kind of a special day.
It's sad because the circumstances why I'm preaching, but and we need to keep Sammy in prayer and Dave for God's comfort. And but a year ago, I was in a coma, and the doctors didn't think I would make it. And you know, they say God's good.
Amen.
All the time. Well, how about when things ain't going good? He's still good.
Amen.
A lot of people, hey, praise the Lord. You know, God's good. But he's good all the time. He's good in who he is. He's love, he's righteous, he's just. Today is 4/15, 2018. And this is Adult Sunday School. I'm filling in for Dave. As you can always tell, you know, he's like up here looking down. I'm like, you know, so. But, you know, the pastor called me the last minute yesterday to cover for Dave today. And it's never a problem. I hope today, actually, let me tell you the title of my message. I have a harder time getting a title than actually doing the message, trying to find something good. You know, the pastor's got, you know, kind of poppy titles or kind of cute. Sound doctrine is a safeguard. So what I'm hoping today, you'll be encouraged. If you've been a little bit lazy on studying the Word, get in the Word. It's so important. Reading the Word, rightly dividing the Word, meditating on the Word, and then what? Applying the Word, right? So we're going to look at, we're going to go to our Apostle Paul's, and actually, all through the Scriptures, there's warnings about false teachers. I'll tell you, if you don't know this Word, and if you don't know how to rightly divide it, you know what's going to happen? You're going to be deceived. Paul talks about the end times, don't he? We'll go to the verses. I'm going to try and be like Dave, which I know I won't get in 1,000 verses in 45 minutes. But I get in what I can, and I just depend on the Holy Spirit. He knows what everyone needs to know. Go to Philippians 3:1, and we're not going to stay there, so I'm just going to read it real quick. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Are you in God's will today? You rejoicing? If you ain't rejoicing, it ain't because you ain't focused. And you ain't thankful. Amen? Do you know worry is a sin? People go, oh, look at him. He smokes. That Christian drinks. You know, oh, they gossip. Well, you worry. Well, that ain't no sin. Oh, you're meddling now. Worrying's a sin. God's will for us. They did a wonderful message on that. To rejoice. He wants us to be spiritually rejoicing with the spiritual happiness. And so Paul, finally, my brethren, rejoice. How do you do it? In the Lord. Because circumstances will come and go and change in this fallen world. I got on Facebook because I do 2 shifts ministry on Facebook. I get up early in the morning. I don't have to. And because maybe to encourage some believers for to go to work or catch an unbeliever, you know, throw some seeds out there, try and reel them in, you know. Fishers of men, right? First thing I saw was, oh, because all this stuff with Syria and, you know, it's like, it might be the end of the world. It's a believer saying this. So I got on there and I said, we got a lot to rejoice about. God is a great God. He's a big God. He's a mighty God. He's a God who's in control. He's sovereign. We don't got to worry. And I said, let's be about our jobs as being ambassadors, right? Don't worry about all these things going on in the world. Don't get sucked into the world system and the world's way of thinking. And Paul says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord, for to me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. And the idea, it's a safeguard. How do you learn? Three ways, right? Repetition, repetition, repetition. So Paul had to repeat things sometimes because we forget, right? That's why you got to stay in the Word. When you studied a month ago, if you're steady building up that sound edifice of doctrine, you know, you're on solid ground. But a month ago ain't going to feed your spirit today. So we need to stay in that Word, you know. Breakfast cereal 3 days ago ain't going to bust a grape today. You need some McDonald's or something, you know. When I eat cereal, it don't last me long. I'm hungry in an hour. That's why a little shallow just Bible reading ain't going to last you real good. But Bible study, because you're thinking about it. You're meditating on it, thinking it through. And anyway, Paul has to warn them about some things over and over. Do you know this Word of God we're going to see will rip up error? Satan's got methods. He's got wiles. You know what? One of my favorite teachers is Kevin Sadler. I don't know if anybody's been watching him. I highly recommend from the Berean Bible Society. They got, what's the name of that program? Grace. Transforming Grace, I think. Anyway, he was talking about spiritual warfare, and I've been studying up on that. I want to do a series on that probably. And he said, that word wiles is the same idea of a wild animal hunting you. Satan's just waiting to snatch you, you know. So Satan's got a world system, don't he? There's a world system, you know. He's small g of this world. But God's above him, but whatever he does and he allows, it's always in the end gets God's will. That's why I don't got to worry about all them things. But we got to be aware or we'll be sucked in. I've heard some people in this church using, and this church is known for rightly dividing, right? I mean, the pastor, man, I appreciate him so much. People go, why do you go drive an hour to church? I said, one thing, it's sound doctrine. And then the love's here. Amen. You know? So from the pastor, from Dave, from Steve, hopefully from me, you get sound doctrine, but see, you've got the love. Because if you're applying sound doctrine, it's going to produce love. Amen. That's fruit of the Spirit, right? But I've heard some people here sort of using word and faith, the name it and claim it, blab it and grab it lingo. You know, I declare healing over you, or you gotta name your healing, you gotta claim your riches, you know. So we're gonna see the Word of God, staying in it will cleanse a lot of that error we've been caught up into. Go to 1 Timothy 6:3-10, please. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, what does wholesome mean? Healthy. Like wholesome foods? Healthy words. Even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, where are you going to find them? Well, you'll find them in the Gospels as he's teaching Israel. But what did Paul say? The commands I give you are the commands of Christ, the things I write to you. So the wholesome things, we learn from all the Bible. You go back there, you look at Job, you look at all he went through. You know how many people Job has encouraged? Or Joseph? Look what Joseph went through. Dude's serving the Lord, man, right? And what's he doing? He got thrown in prison. He got sold into slavery. You can't learn from Joseph? He kept serving the Lord. And what happened? God took him from here to here. So he was just under, what's his name, Pharaoh or whatever his title was. Big man, anyway. So Paul says in 1 Timothy 6:3-10, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness. See, sound doctrine should produce godliness in our lives. Grace, Titus 2, 11 and 12, what's it say? The grace of God that's appeared, where'd that happen? I think when Christ appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus, that's when the dispensation of grace started. Paul was the first person in the body of Christ. If I get to it, we'll see that he was a pattern for everyone later who would believe. He was the first person in the body of Christ. Christ gave him a new commission, a new gospel, the gospel of the grace of God, right? So, grace teaches us to say, deny ungodliness, say no to it, and to live upright and godly. It makes us zealous for good works. We have to watch as grace believers because we fight so much against performance-based legalism, right? That you're not saved by works. You don't stay saved by works. But you know what? In a believer's life, there should be works. For it's God who works in you. It's God who works in you. Both to will, He don't overrule your will, but He works within it. Both to will, right? And to do according to His good pleasure. Paul talks about the labor of love, right? The work of faith. Paul says, watch that you maintain good works. See, grace should produce fruit in our lives.
Absolutely.
We should be working for the Lord, but not in our own strength. There's where the trick is. It's depending on Christ in us to live out of us. Christ gave His life for us. Why? So He could give His life to us. Why? So He can express His life through our personalities. That's the Christian life. And so Paul says, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reveling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings, just making a bunch of noise. Listen to this, of men of corrupt minds. You know that idea is? Perverted minds. And destitute of the truth. Listen to this very careful. Who suppose that godliness, so if you got faith, is a means to gain. And you look in the context, I don't have time, I got a lot to go over. It's financial gain. So men who teach, if you got faith, you're going to get financially blessed. They're corrupted. Turn on Christian TV today. How much of that's on there? And what's it say? From such withdraw yourself. Now godliness with contentment is great gain. God wants us to be content. The naming and claim it, blabbing and grab it, false prosperity, doctrine of demon message, it makes you discontent. It makes you want some more. Give me some more. I name names. I'm sorry. I try and be nice sometimes. Benny Hinn says, I don't need gold and streets in heaven. I need gold now. What's Joel Osteen's book? Your best life now. Kingdom now. And it sounds so good, boy. If you don't know this word rightly divided in context, they use verses out of context to back up their stuff. You're going to be sucked into it. You're going to be influenced. But praise God, you stay in this word. And you start hearing error, you know that's a doctrine of demons. People go, oh, they're such encouragers. Satan's an encourager. He encouraged you to turn away from God. Focus on self. You got to love yourself more. How about psychobabble? It's coming in the church, ain't it? If you don't love yourself, you just ain't going to know how to love anybody else. What's Scripture say?
Just the opposite.
Love God. Love others. Jesus says, love others as you love yourself. You ain't got no problem loving yourself. That's why you don't like it when you gain weight. Because I should be looking good. You know? Oh, I hate myself. No, you don't. You think you should be looking good. And then everybody look at me and tell me how wonderful I look. Oh, check out myself. See? You got to know this word, man. So, Paul warns us about these teachers. Well, you should see on Facebook. You want to know what's going on around the world and in our country with believers. So many people on there use verses out of context. It just, my eyeballs go, you know, like that sometime. And then you don't want to be the doctrine sheriff, you know what I'm saying? Jump on everybody's post and correct everybody. So I just try and share sound doctrine. It's very important. See, doctrine means what? Most people think it only means teaching. It means actually a pattern of teaching, a form of teaching, like the doctrine about salvation. It's all the verses and all that truth about salvation. That's doctrine. Okay? You need sound doctrine because there's doctrines of what?
Demons.
1 Timothy 6, 20-21. You hear it today. God gave me a word for you.
No.
Just for you. He told me to tell you. And you know what I say?
No.
If he wants to tell me something, he'll tell me himself.
Amen.
I don't need you to tell me. And you know, people think these people got the gift of the word of knowledge. I got some revelation knowledge. Listen what Paul warns us about. And 1 Timothy 6, 20 and 21. Oh, Timothy, guard. He's not allowed it to be perverted. What was committed to your trust? Avoid profane and idle babblings. And contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. Revelation knowledge. See? Extra-biblical revelation. People think today God's speaking through dreams, visions. God gave me a vision.
No.
You know, God's speaking through His Word. His Word's completed.
That's it.
And people said, if it's new, it ain't true. This, God speaks through His Word. You know how He does it? As you study it, as you memorize it, the Holy Spirit brings them truths to your mind. That's God speaking to you. Let me ask some. People go, you know, God spoke to me. I see a lot. Like I said, Facebook, you just hear a lot of things. Or even in people I know. And then God spoke to me. I said, how do you know it's His voice? What's God's voice sound like? Don't Satan come as an angel of light? You know? This is where He speaks to it. Don't listen about somebody got a word of knowledge for you. Because if it's new, it ain't true. So we don't get sucked in the... You know how much false teaching has came through people who claim to have new revelation knowledge? That's the word in faith movement. That's all revelation knowledge. And then what they tell you? Touch not God's anointed if you question them. That verse is out of context. That's talking about kings and prophets in the Old Testament. That was God's anointed. Not these false teachers. But see, people are afraid then. Because they say, you come against God's anointed, and He'll get you. He'll make your kids sick. I've heard Him say it. So see, sound Bible doctrine will protect you from that. You don't got to fear them. You don't got to listen to them. And you can call them out on it too. We're not supposed to judge somebody's salvation. I don't know if Joel Osteen's saved. I don't know if Benny Hinn's saved. I don't know if... what's her name? What's a big lady? Joyce Myers is saved. Kenneth Copeland. I can't judge her heart, but I can judge her teaching, and we're called. Paul said to expose evil. You expose it. And Paul said earlier, have nothing to do with them perverted teachers. And you got people making them rich. They got mansions. They got jet planes. Go to Colossians 2, 4 to 8. Paul says, that their heart, he's saying a prayer. I'm sorry. Well, he was in verse 2. Now, in verse 4. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words, enticing words. Satan uses people to deceive with enticing words. They're going to spiritually romance you. They're going to tell you what you want to hear. God's going to make you rich. He's always going to heal you. You ain't never going to have no suffering. When Paul says, those who what? Seek to live godly will suffer persecution, right? Expect it. When you share as Paul's gospel, you stand for it, the word rightly divided, the mystery that no, hardly, how many churches, there's a lot of them, you know, but they're usually small, little grace churches are teaching the mystery this morning. Ask your average believer, you know the mystery? What you talking about, man? I speak prosperity, and I know about that, I know God make me rich. One lady was I used to work with, very nice lady, and I believe she was a believer. She had a love for the Lord, but she was under that teaching from a big church in Chicago. And we were both working for a staffing company. And I said, you know, I know what your pastor teaches. I've heard him about prosperity. How come you ain't rich? How long you been giving? Because they say if you give, right, God give you that hundredfold blessing, right? He'll pour out. God just give you everything you want. He'll pour money in your pocket. Your pocket, where you can't even hold it. You have so much gold, right? How come you ain't rich and you're working here with me? Oh, I am. It just ain't manifested yet. You know what that's called? A lie. When you're told to say you're healed, when you ain't healed, you're being taught to say a lie. When Jesus healed people, he healed people.
Instant.
Yeah. There was a couple instances when he told like the guy to go wash his eyes, go to the... But overall, they just came to him and he healed them. Right? They didn't have to name it and claim it, blab it and grab it, lie about it. So, in verse 4 again. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. How did you receive Christ Jesus as Lord? How did you get saved? Dependent faith, right? You didn't depend on yourself to save yourself. You trusted in his completed, finished work, right? How do you live the Christian life? Same way. I don't depend on my resources. Paul said, I count all that stuff rubbish, what I could do, to knowing Christ and the power of his resurrection. So you live the Christian life in the same way, by dependent faith. Lord, I can't do it, but I know I can do all things through you. When I was in the hospital, I said a year ago, in a lot of pain, Mary, she was there every day, sleeping at night. And you know when I was going? It's one thing to notice thing, this word. It's another thing to appropriate by faith. Get a hold on it. Paul said it's that he wanted to appropriate the resurrection life of Christ in his life. And I kept saying, Lord, thank you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When you're in pain, thank you, Lord. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Instead of complaining, I got this ache and I got this ache and I got this pain and, you know, even my ears itching, you know. But I can do... Thank you, God. And then you learn, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know how? Because sound Bible doctrine. You built it in. You studied it. You prepared. So when you go through the storm, you know what happens with people who think God's always going to heal you? And I feel bad. I see these people asking for prayer for help. And then people on Facebook saying, I declare you're healed already. And I'm thinking, how many people you told that to and they ain't been healed?
Too many.
And then the people who think they ain't got enough faith, or they got sin in their life, they tell them. That is such garbage teaching. But, see, the Word of God will protect us from that. But not only that, how about traditions and philosophies of men? Paul said, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware. Think about words when you study the Bible. Don't just read it. Beware. What's that tell you? Red light, right? Something wrong here. You better keep your eyes open. Beware lest anyone cheat you. There's people out there trying to cheat you. I'm from the hood. I don't like being cheated. You know, I catch people that try and play games on me because I know from the hood, on the streets, how people try and run a game. Right, bro? We know how people run games on the streets. That's how I keep people awake. Ask them questions. That's why I like when people go, amen. That person next to them's like, oh, amen. So anyway, beware lest anyone cheat you through how are you going to be cheated? Philosophy, human philosophy. How fallen man thinks. What is a psychology? Fallen man's ideas how to help fallen man or psychiatry. The roots are atheistic. And then you got believers going to unbelieving psychiatrists. And they're telling them, you're this, and they're labeling this and that, you know. And they're wondering why they're not having victory in their lives, you know. And then they go to what they call Christian psychology, right? There ain't none. There's Christians that teach secular psychology. And they take a verse here to try and back up. You know? This is our prescription. When you fear, you got anxiety, God's got a prescription in there. Philippians 4:4-8, right? Be anxious for nothing. Be careful. That means don't be full of care. Well, what do I do, Lord? Be anxious for nothing but by prayer. Start praying. Get your mind off the problems. Start focusing on the Lord by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. How can I give God thanks when I'm going through this terrible thing? Because He's working all things for your good. He's taking everything and forming the character of Christ in you. And is that your desire? You want Christ to be more and you become less? Yeah. Like John says, see, we can learn from all scriptures for our learning, isn't it? You get some grace churches, rightly dividing churches, they think, oh, we just stay in Paul's epistles. No, all scripture is profitable, isn't it? But you get the most profit when you rightly divide it. See? Because most churches are all over about in the Bible. All over, right? But they kind of stay out of Paul's epistles. Because it's confusing. When James says, you know, you're justified by works, not just faith. Paul said you're justified by faith without works. Well, that sounds contradictory, right? It's not. James is writing to James 1, verse 1. Writing to the 12 tribes that are dispersed. The 12 tribes of Israel. Who's Paul writing to? The body of Christ. Two different messages, two different people, right? So, he says, so beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit. The message is empty, but it's very deceiving. It will appeal to your flesh. According to what? The traditions of men. How will Satan work in people's lives? Traditions that are handed down. Traditions that are 2,000 years old. How long does it take for a tradition that's erroneous to become true? Never. It never does. I don't care how old it is. Oh, my church goes back all the way to Peter. Well, if we get a chance, we're going to see that church that bases their whole theology on Peter being the rock, that ain't what Christ said, I'll build my rock on. He said, I'll build my rock on this. What was it? Peter's proclamation. Christ asked him what? Who the man say I am? What did Peter say? Bro, help me preach here. You know he'd been in the work. Yeah. He said, you're the Messiah. And what? Christ said, I'll build my rock, my church upon that rock. The kingdom church upon the rock. Christ as Messiah. That ain't the church body of Christ. So you build on Peter, you're on the wrong foundation. They needed to build that because he gave him the keys to the kingdom, right? The kingdom. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom's coming. After the rapture, there's going to be a 7-year tribulation. Christ comes back and he's bringing the kingdom.
Amen.
We're going to be functioning in heavenly places. Praise God. So, you got to watch for tradition. According to the basic principles of this world and not according to Christ. Go to Colossians 2:4-8. Oh, I just did. So remember, Paul's dealing with some things there. Human philosophy, right? He said, beware. Empty deceit. It's very deceptive. And traditions of men. So what's kind of under that umbrella? Psychobabble, philosophies of men. Religions, denominations. Go to Ephesians 1:3-6. We're going to see something. When you study this word in context, not by denominational eyes, it just destroys tradition and false teaching. You know, in Ephesians, when we go, chapter 1 destroys, and I love my Calvinist friends and my Arminian friends. I don't know if you know anything about Calvinism, Arminianism. They're opposites. Calvinism teaches that God elected some to salvation, but the other ones can't get saved even if they want to. So when God says, His Word says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and I'll be saved, well, that's just God toying with somebody, I guess, right? That's, you know, people think that, and that's all, Calvinism been around a long time. You know, Arminianism teaches that you can lose your salvation. Now, Calvinism would say, if you're really saved, you'll persevere till the end. And they use verses all out of context. Ephesians chapter 1 destroys both them theologies. You know what they are? Traditions of men. They're based upon John Calvin and Arminius. I believe it's Arminius. And then they add traditions to it. Let's go to, again, Ephesians 1:3-6. If you let the scriptures teach you and don't look through theological denominational eyes, you'll see something here. Ephesians 1, starting in 3. Blessed be the God, hallelujah, and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Who's speaking? I always got to ask. Who's speaking? Who are they speaking to? Paul is writing, right? Who's he writing to? The body of Christ, right? Okay. To save people, no? Well, I'm going to wake some of you up out there. I don't care if I got to throw some water. I'm bringing a squirt gun next time. Well, at least I got you guys. You know, I get the early crew. But the pastor, you'll be all worn out from thinking by the time he gets up there. He's writing to save people. Just as he chose us. Oh, God chose us. See, Calvinism would say, God chose some to be saved. No, he's writing to save people, right? Just as he chose us, where? In him. So those that are going to be in Christ, God looked down time. He knows who's going to be trusting in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him in love. What was the choosing? Of salvation? No. The choosing that God would see you holy and blameless in Christ. You see how the Word of God just straightens. You got to watch when you're up here, you know, because I could be, Mary says I'm sarcastic. I want to watch. Sometimes you could be mean, and I don't want to do that, so I'm not going to say what I was thinking. And he says, having predestined us, what? Does this say to get saved? No. To adoption as sons. God predetermined believers would have the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He made us accepted in the Beloved. So that destroys Calvinism right there. We're not even through the first chapter of Ephesians. Now it's going to destroy Arminianism, man-made theologies. Go to Ephesians 1:13 and 14. Now, Arminianism says that you can lose your salvation, okay? You can choose to believe, but then you can choose not to believe, so you can lose it, okay? What does Scripture say? In Him, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word, right? So you got to hear the truth. So what do we need to do? Share the truth, right, with people? Love them enough. I pray a lot for myself because we like people to like us. And if I start sharing, they're going to think I'm a Jesus freak, right? So I pray, God, give me boldness to open my mouth as I should, sharing the fellowship of the mystery, sharing the gospel. So what if they don't like me or talk about me? They talked about me when I was out there doing drugs and gangbanging and womanizing the whole shot. So what should we care now if they talk about us? We're Jesus freak. We are. A freak is somebody who's different, right? Real different. Well, we're not part of this world, right? We're different. We're saints. Because we trusted in Christ, we've been set apart by His Holy Spirit. So, in Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom, having believed, you trusted, right? This is salvation. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And then does it say, but if you mess up enough, or if you stop believing, He'll leave you?
Doesn't say no.
Thank you. Don't say that. Who is the... He's the guarantee. The Holy Spirit. How long? Of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. We're saved eternally. Ephesians 1 just destroyed two traditions of men, right? Go to 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. For time, I'm just going to sort of do this from memory. All Scripture is God-breathed, right? Or inspired by God. All Scripture is God-breathed, useful for teaching or doctrine. That's what we're talking about today, right? Teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training. That's discipline. Training is disciplining you for your good. That the man might be thoroughly equipped, right? All Scripture is profitable. But it's not going to profit you like God designed it to unless in 2 Timothy 2:15, what's it say? Don't read it.
Study.
Read. What's the whole verse say?
Study to show yourself approved and not be ashamed, right? Study.
There's a way that got God's approval. That means if we don't study that way, we don't got God's approval. Rightly dividing the word of truth. You got to study, rightly divide it, right? You got to look at them verses in context. And then when you hear error, your little spiritual antennas are going to... Remember the Martian, I dream... What was that old... The old ones. So no, my favorite Martian.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, remember his little antennas would come up. You know, that's how I feel when I'm listening to some teaching. Sometimes I just got to turn it off. Excuse me if this comes up. I still got the, you know, so I took my six pack out muscles, so I got to wear like a thing, you know. So I'll never have a six pack again. But outwardly, here's applying the word of God. Outwardly we're perishing, but inwardly we're being renewed day by day. And how's that happening? We're transformed by the renewing of our minds as we get into this word. I'm going to try and wrap up. So the last thing that I'll deal with here is, remember again, Peter said, when Christ asked him, who do men say I am? You know, some say this, that. Who do you say I am? You're the Christ, Son of the living God, right? And Christ said, on that rock. When he mentioned his name, Peter, that means Petros, which means a little rock. The other one means a boulder. When he said, on that rock, I'll build my church. That's Kingdom Church. So there's a whole denomination that starts building their traditions on Peter instead of Paul. Christ sent Paul. Paul said he was saved as a pattern, right? For all those who would believe after. And what establishes us? Romans 16:25, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the mystery hidden ages. What's established means puts us on a firm, found spiritual condition. And then you know what else happened? It started with, go to Peter. Then another monk or whatever comes along and they bring the priesthood back. Then you get another one about praying to Mary, co-mediatress. And you get all these traditions of men that Paul warns us about, added, and then Augustine, you know, St. Augustine they call him, he put it together, and guess what it came out of that? Roman Catholicism. Paul warns us, and I love my Catholic friends, you know, some are so warm and, you know, but they're taught a mixture of law and grace. You know, just try and keep the good, be good, keep the commandments, and, you know, get baptized, do your sacraments, do this, do that. You know, and then maybe you'll just burn a little bit in purgatory, you know. So, that's not it. The body of Christ is built on Christ, but according to the revelation and mystery, we preach Christ. See, you can preach Christ according to the kingdom gospel. That's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Or you can preach Christ according to Paul's gospel, where he's head of the body of Christ. Not only his death, burial, and resurrection, but his ascension. And where are we? Seated with him. High above all principalities and powers. So I got to close. What I was trying to do, because, you know, last minute, you're asked to teach, right? And I'm always like, Lord, you know what they need to hear. But I know one thing. We need to stay in this word. Because it's going to get worse and worse. And I've seen people lately that were rightly dividing. And now they're attacking rightly dividing. They were teaching just as strong as I am or the pastor. Yeah. What does Paul say in the end days? Men will turn away from sound doctrine. He turned aside to fables. So if you don't stay in this word, if I don't stay in this word, we'll be sucked in the air. So I encourage you, stay in the word. Pray God keeps me in the word. We need to pray for each other. So it's probably a good idea to pray now at the end. Huh? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you. Oh, thank you for your word, Father. It's living and it's active. It's alive. It's the only book that you're present, the author is present, as we study it. We don't just study it to get to know the contents. That's the problem sometimes. People sometimes do study, but they become doctrine heads. They're not studying it to get to know the author. And it's all about Christ, from Genesis to Revelation. But we also know we have to rightly divide it, Father, so we can know our instructions, what your will today is. And I know it's your will for all men to be saved, not just your calling and electing some. I pray, Father, if there's one here listening through the CD or watching through the video, and they've never trusted in Christ, they've trusted in their religion, their tradition, their own pseudo self-righteousness, I pray they lay their deadly doing down and trust that Christ died for their sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose that third day. And he rose. Now, Father, you can justify us, declare us righteous by just simple faith. And we're saved by grace. It's all what Christ did. It's all what you accomplished through your Son. Through faith, we're just trusting, not by works. I pray they'll receive it as a gift, Lord. And for those of us who do know you, I pray, Father, we'll let your word teach us. If there's errors in our thinking, let's be humble and want to know the truth. And give us boldness, Father, that we might open our mouth as we ought, in the right way, Father, not mean and rude, to make known this fellowship of the mystery, so other believers can know it, and that we'll get the gospel correct. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.